Guys, we are back in the studio in such a beautiful place today. So happy to be here, so happy to be out of the house. Well, a little bit happy. It was a bit stressful getting here, but we move. So today we are having a very interesting, deep conversation. We have Sapphire and we have an amazing research psychologist, Joyty. Thank you for joining us again. So yeah, we're just going to go with the flow. We've just kind of changed the whole topic, or I have. Yeah, so how do we even start this conversation? So we want to kind of take ourselves back into our childhood. Yeah. I think after this year in general, it's been really difficult. And because we've had to spend so much time with ourselves, well, and we do have, me and Sapphire have two kids, so it's obviously hard for us.
We're not on our own, unfortunately.
If we are by ourselves, it is lovely. But overall, people have had like a lot more time to think about life and reflect about their childhood, and especially because of the Black Lives Matter movement and so many crazy things have been happening. I think it's an important time for us to really unpack our childhood and
see how it is. I felt like was a good question to ask you, Joyty, was that how we know that this time during lockdown is going to have an effect on all of us. Like there's going to be a hangover from this. But for children, what does that look like? Because we can see immediate effects from it. We've done like a whole like Black Parents and Teachers Association discussion around like the effects that it's had on children at the moment. But what will the impact look like in a few years' time, or like next year as they're moving up in school? And also, I guess, for adults as well, like what does it look like? Like what can we expect?
Yeah, I think with me, it helps me to break things down into blocks. So I probably look at it like socially, psychologically, educationally, maybe, I don't know, even biologically, like biological, like health-wise, are kids getting out and getting enough health and exercise? Because obviously parents are working from home. You know, usually they'd be playing in the playground. Socially, you know, there's not been a year of them interacting with peers. Obviously, there's been children that have been born within this lockdown period. So developmentally, are they still, you know, have they been able to engage and interact and socialize with other children their age? So obviously that social element might be not compromised, but that's something to consider. Educationally, obviously there's been gaps in formal education, even though there's been virtual learning. I don't know if often there's been that support where you get in a formal classroom. So maybe just trying to then learn how to get back into learning, that readiness for learning, like even little things like, you know, sitting at a desk and engaging and like working memory, so how aware we are in the classroom, because often learning at home is a bit different from formal school setting. So yeah, a couple of factors really. And I think the biggest thing as parents is then maybe being aware of how psychologically demanding it can be for yourself and for the children. Because you also need to give yourselves a break and be kind to yourselves, because you guys are managing so much. But also just putting your children's behavior in context. So if they are maybe not themselves, or they're just doing something that behaviorally is just not, you're just thinking, oh, what's going on? Just kind of embrace that and be with them. That's my big thing, is like be with every emotion. So there's no such thing as like a bad emotion or a negative behavior. It's communicative. So they're trying to tell you something. So I would always translate it into, okay, maybe they've not been sleeping properly. There's a reason for that. It's not because they don't want to. Maybe there's something bugging. Maybe it's a transition back into school. So just maybe being a bit more sensitive and to how hard it's been for them, because for their poor little brains, like it's so hard, like for them to think, okay, there was a lockdown and now we're going and now we're not. So I think like we can just about cope with it, you know. And then I do feel like all the systems and protocols in school, like all the social distancing, the this and the those, like tangible things I really struggle with sometimes. So imagine children not being able to, you know, interact with other children and all these formal things. So I think just be kind to yourself and be kind to them, and just be aware that just go with the flow. And yeah. I think every day will be a new day, but transition back into it really gently. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and the fact that it's new, like we don't know the impact of COVID, but we're living it, which yeah. is really strange. So
it yeah. is really strange, but it's good to have that reminder that we've all gone through it. It's not just yeah. the kids, it's not just us. And if there is peculiar behavior, not to just like,
yeah, get to bed now.
Yeah, like yeah, try translate that for what that could mean to them, and yeah. like approach it with compassion, yeah. which is yeah. hard sometimes, especially when you're irritated, you've not slept, or it's yeah. affecting you, and your anxiety is through the roof. Like, but yeah, just take yeah. every day as it comes.
Yeah, yeah,
definitely.
And I think it's hard because children need their parents to help them translate that behaviour.
Yeah. Yeah.
They don't know what that emotion means, so it just, again, just be with it, and then just, you know, just go through that emotion with them, facilitate it, and then empower them.
Yeah.
And then that's all I can think of, I guess. And I think it's a sense of just knowing that they're still figuring it out. We're all figuring it out, I guess. But, you know, it just takes children a little bit longer, I guess. But
do you know what's been really helping me with the kids, actually, recently? I've had a lot of off days recently. And sometimes I just sit there and I just cry and I just let them, like, just observe, like, oh, my gosh, mummy's upset. And Isaac, my eldest son, he's 6. He'd be like, "Mummy, you okay?" And I'm like, "You know what? I'm just feeling a bit sad.
Yeah.
It's not a good day for me today."
Do you see, I'm the opposite.
Do you hide it?
So the other day, I'm a very emotional person, and yeah. I was just about to cry at a photo album, and Kamai nearly started to cry. He's like, "Mummy, if you start crying, I'll start crying." I can't have you crying over photo albums already. But I feel like because he's so emotional, I need to rein my emotions in a little bit. And maybe that's because he's a boy. I don't want him to be seen as vulnerable. But I think from Isaac's perspective, it's good for him to see that, or another child who might not be as emotional.
Yeah, see, I think definitely. Both of those experiences are really beautiful, because I think in that sense, you know, you're developing senses of compassion, and same with yourself as well, because it's like, oh, if you cry, mum, and that just shows your bond, that's beautiful, because it's like, oh, if you're going to cry, then I'm going to cry. And that's like beautiful, because going forwards, like even as adults, we're just figuring it out. And I think when you can then be compassionate with your children, that's amazing. And I think it really reflects so well from your parenting skills, the fact that your children are so empathetic, you know, they're so aware and they care about you so much. And I think, you know, like, because then maybe, like, I know some teenagers who are a bit like, oh, what? Yeah, I'm going. Yeah. I've got something to do. Whereas the fact that they've taken that time out to be aware of you is lovely. And I get what you mean about making him resilient in that sense. But maybe having those conversations that, okay, it's a bit sad, but let's work through it together and going forwards. But I think having that fact that he wants to do that is so lovely, because I think it's so valuable being sensitive. And I'm a very sensitive person, and I don't downplay it anymore. I'm actually really proud of it. So if I want to cry, I will cry. And if I want to, you know, we just need to really be proud of it. And I think often it's seen as not a failing, but it's seen as something which is like, oh, like, you're very sensitive, and it's like, it's a weakness. Yeah,
which is a bad thing to other people.
No, I think we need to embrace the fact that at least we're honest with our emotions.
Yeah, definitely.
And we don't have to then, you know, suppress them. I think own it. Yeah, cry. Yeah.
That's one of my things. Like, I love being vulnerable, because I really do see it as a strength. Like, if I'm owning my emotions, there's nothing that you can use against me, because I'm going through everything 100% and it's all on show.
Yeah.
But I feel like, yeah, crying in front of the kids has allowed them to know that, like, the mum isn't an actual superhero. She's not untouchable. Like, she can be hurt. I can push my mum over the edge sometimes, and just sort of be aware of their own actions, and also that, you know, yeah, days affect people differently. But I think more importantly, it's helped Isaac to communicate how he feels about certain things.
Yeah.
So if he's feeling sad, he won't just like scream and throw things around, how it's often like aggression can be a language for kids. But he'll be like, oh, this happened at school today. And that helps me, because I know how to respond, and like, we work through it together.
Yeah.
And the same with my daughter, and she's 4, and it's like use your words, don't scream, don't yell the house down, use your words, and we know how to like get through that a bit more.
Yeah, brill. I think so it's really translating helpful. It as you were saying, like, on moving that into something else, but really getting on their level to say, okay, how did that affect you? Let's talk it through. Do you want to draw me a picture about how it made you feel? Or do you know if you want, let's just sit here and just talk, or just sit here and just let's just be together. And I think, as you say, it just shows it's so good, because that openness and that honesty is so valuable. And I think going forwards, it will make your children so strong as well, because that's the biggest thing, is being able, I know I do that now with individuals who are older than me. I find it strange trying to support them. And it's like, we're all humans. There's no age limit. You know, every day we're learning. And I think it's the sensitivity that children have, which is beautiful. And it's that innocence they have. And I think what you're probably doing now is amazing, because you're developing such beautiful reflective skills. So at least now, when, you know, obviously there'll be life stresses, school stresses, they can be open and aware of their emotions and say, oh, you know, I'm feeling a bit sad today, which is amazing, rather than it manifesting into something else.
That's what I hope for.
Same. So how would you relate that to, I guess, us as parents and the children's inner child?
I think obviously there's that sort of effect, which what children will see, they will sort of absorb. And I think, but the who's to say there's wrong behaviours and good behaviours? I think every behaviour is valid. Obviously, if there's a dangerous behaviour or something that needs to be questioned, then that's different. But I think at the end of the day, it's quite valuable that as adults you can have that nice relationship where you sit and you're empathetic together and you're working through emotions together, because that gives the children as well a safe haven where they know that whatever happens I go through, I'll be protected. But then you're also empowering them through that journey. So we've been through that experience together, but next time I can do it alone. So I'm stronger. And I think the fact that you've facilitated that is massive for their development. So I think, you know, you just need to be so proud of yourselves and just be like, pat on the back.
I think we've definitely come on miles since our parents, I think, because I had a really bad relationship with my dad growing up, especially through my teenage years. He was just so, like, you know when the room just feels tense, like someone's presence is tense in the room and you're like walking on eggshells around them. And it's like I built a survival, not that he was abusive or anything like that, it wasn't anything like that, he was just very aggressive, like in his tone, in the way that he spoke to me sometimes. And I developed a survival technique on how, like, what buttons not to press and what things not to say and how not to act around him. And no matter how bad it got or how bad he shouted at me, he'd always come back and be like, do you know what, I'm sorry about that, I took it too far. And that's helped me and my parenting to be like, no matter how angry I get or if I lose my rag or whatever, I can come back and be like, okay, I'm really sorry that I shouted at you tonight, guys. That was nothing to do with you, actually. It was me. But I think just the fact that he had that vulnerability to come back after a really bad day of shouting has enabled me to do that. But I think we've come on leaps and bounds since our parents, like in their ways of parenting, just because we're so conscious and aware of how we are and what we've learned growing up from them. And I don't think they had the tools to do that.
No, definitely. I was going to say, in regards to your dad, because he's Jamaican.
Yeah.
So you could, I guess, argue that it's then his upbringing, how he was. And I know, especially in the Black community, there's this generational trauma, which is passed down. And I think especially again with the Black community and going, I guess, all the way unfortunately back to slavery times, how they were treated is kind of then rippled down to how parents then treat their children, and then how we treat other people. And because we haven't necessarily always been taught, well, we have, as you said, but our parents and elders haven't necessarily been taught compassion and taught how to love themselves first instead of hating or beating or being aggressive, because you could argue they were in their survival mode. They just had to live. They didn't know how to love as well. And it's like, we are now the generation who's just trying to break that cycle completely.
Yeah, I think it can go down two ways. Like, you know how people say, oh, I've been through an abusive situation, but that doesn't turn me into an abuser. Like, it can go either way. Yeah. I think it's the same, like, having experienced trauma, you can unfortunately pass on that trauma, or, you know, you can pick up tools and really fight against that. Mm. But I think either way, our parents haven't had the chance to heal, whether they've picked up tools along the way and have fought against passing on that trauma, they've not had the chance to heal, and so subconsciously are passing that on. Like, even biologically, I believe that like trauma can be passed on through like genes and energy, and so it's really tough, because I do think it's a generational trauma thing. Like, I said to my dad like a couple of years ago when I first was studying psychology, because I've done like an access course in it before, and I was like, Dad, I figured out the problem with black people. We all need counselling. And he's like, no, that's not for us, no. And I'm like, are you kidding? Like, you have so many problems. Get counselling, please.
Just talk to someone. Talk out.
Yeah. And I think it's sometimes the expectations that families have on them. So obviously sometimes males, they have certain expectations, or at least they feel they have, and they have to live up to that. Yeah. And it's also promoting those healthy conversations. And often, you know, it's moving away from that being the breadwinner and doing the work in, and having that sensitivity. Yeah. And I think it's hopefully now, again, with your children, we're breaking that cycle, and that's massive, because it'll only be intergenerational if we allow it to.
Yeah.
So it's up to us, again, as you said, getting the tools. You're equipping your children now with the relevant tools. Absolutely. And you can only do that now by looking at something and be like, actually, this doesn't work. And I know I do that the same. There's certain things culturally that I'll be like, actually, where's that written? Is that prescriptive? Like, who made that rule up? Why? Like, that doesn't work in my brain, sorry, you know. And unless it's unless it makes sense, I can't do it. And I think, you know, you could argue, oh wow, you're very outspoken, but no, like, to be a change maker, you have to take that risk. Absolutely. And I think, you know, you have to just know what you want and what you don't want. And what you were saying, it can go two ways. Either you know that, you know, there's that hypervigilance and that stress, and you know those feelings. Mm-hmm. You know, do we want to revisit them? And we all have those places within ourselves that we don't want to go down. Mm-hmm. We're happy with them there, but we want to empower ourselves to move away from that. So I think, yeah, like, we can only thank our families, our generations, for what they've taught us, because we have now equipped ourselves with the skills to get here.
Yeah.
And then when you think, like, wow, like, even 10, 20 years, it feels like a short amount of time, but generationally, we've probably moved so much. Mm-hmm. And I think it's something to be so proud of, and to think the next generation, how much more they will. Yeah, so definitely. I just think life is so progressive and it's so exciting in that sense.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I agree, yeah.
Do you know, on the flip side, I don't know where you'd put this in this conversation, but so I've been doing a lot of work on myself over the past few months, and I think it was more around when the kids were going back to school, because me and my partner were having, I guess, disagreements on whether or not he should go back to school, and this brought up a lot of parent guilt. And as a parent, I always feel like I'm not doing enough, and I always feel bad. And in that respect, I then overcompensate. So I'll try and sometimes take him out twice a day, or just do everything I can, even though I'm burnt out myself and I'm not actually looking after myself. And I realise that's because I, as a child, felt like my mum didn't do enough for me. Mm. Wasn't her fault, because my dad died, I guess, so unexpectedly. She didn't know how to deal with it herself. I don't think we got the treatment that we needed. We've never even had this like discussion before. So I don't think she knew how to deal with her emotions, therefore she didn't necessarily know how to deal with me. And then because I never had that closure with her, I've then passed it on to my children, where I overcompensate, and I try and do the mum and the dad role and everything in between, to the point where am I now making my kids spoiled because I'm giving them too much, therefore they'll expect too much from me. Yeah,
but I think the fact that you're so aware of it is amazing. I think the fact that you're having you're so open in the fact that you're thinking about it is brilliant. And I think that's something that you know yourself. And I think as well is knowing your own boundaries, your own limitations, and making your kids aware of that. Like, you know, mummy still really cares about you, but I just need a bit of 5 minutes. Let's do this activity together. But just constant reassurance, because all children need is that you will be looked after and I will be there. Yeah. And that doesn't mean going out all the time or lots of toys or lots of things. It just they just need that thing within them, that attachment, that knowing that, oh, wherever you go, you'll still be there, and I've got that nurturing bond with you. So that, you know, and I think that's all, it can be done verbally in that sense. And I think just you have to be so much more kinder to yourself. And I think the fact that you're aware that, you know, am I doing too much? That's brilliant, because then you're reflective as a person and as a parent. Mm. So I think you just need to be a lot kinder to yourself.
I definitely do.
You know, yeah.
I definitely do, yeah.
Yeah.
I think I put myself down way too much.
Yeah.
The irony. Female magic. At least I'm being honest.
Yeah,
I'm trying to be more honest about it.
Yeah. And we're all growing. I mean, if we had all the answers, then, you know, we have to, like... You know, that's the thing about having a personality, is that you'll have this and you might need to be stronger in this and you might need this. And I think it's just amazing that you meet different people, like-minded people, and you get even stronger. And then you can meet other people that, you know, like, right, this is not working for me. So I think it's great. It's reflective. And I think the fact that you are reflective is massive, because that's actually, to stop and think is so important. Mm. Sometimes we just get on with our day and don't even get 5 minutes. So I think just keep that.
Yeah. Definitely. It's a good skill to have.
So recently, George Floyd's person got...
Oh, yeah. His murderer was found guilty.
Yes. And you put up a post crying, and I think that's how a lot of people felt. Mm. And I think it's mad how we're completely, like, across the different seas, you could argue in different worlds, yet we feel it within us. And it's, what is that like? How do we feel how other people feel? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Is it empathy?
Empathy. Like social solidarity, like standing together and that sort of group collectivism and being together and for a cause. Mm. Yeah, I think it's empathy.
Actually, I would like to ask you a question, because of that social solidarity and that, like, global empathy for this police murder, and it definitely has had a deep impact on the Black community. And then I think also losing the guy who played Black Panther, like, Black people had a hard year, man. We've had a hard year. How do we heal from that? Because we've got our own, like, minute little family, like, racism things going on in our own worlds, but as a world, as a community around the globe, like, how do we start to heal? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I think that's what we all need, that, but the Black community definitely needs that.
I think it's more about, like, the platforms, like the social platforms, social media. I feel like that's a great way to obviously connect internationally. Mm-hmm. And then having these platforms where people are working together, raising awareness and understanding, and everyone has got an opinion or something valuable to offer. And I think the more we actually connect with each other, we realise we're actually more similar. Mm-hmm. And I think we should do that more. And I think it's probably finding relevant networks, and then even if you feel there's a gap, that's something that maybe, you know, a few people could get together and initiate. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes that's maybe what's needed. If you feel there's a gap, that's where the best ideas come from. Mm-hmm. So I think, yeah, maybe just the power of social media now and all trying to find ways, or, you know, group ways or common ways to support each other, because you know. And I think that's the biggest thing, is maybe COVID's taught us as well that how important people are.
Yeah,
you know, definitely. Even though you're a phone call away, like, it does really show you that, oh wow, like, you know, it's that, the, you know, having a social network is really important. And because I know we all started off having, like, video calls in the first lockdown, and then slowly in the second and third one, it kind of never happened.
Dwindled,
you know, and it's like, how do we maintain that? How do we, you know, make sure our friends and our family are accounted for and supported? So it's having something sustainable and manageable, or having a platform which is then going to work and have actual behavior change or some sort of actual outcomes. It depends what you want to achieve, I think.
Yeah, I agree. And just taking time out for yourself.
Yeah.
Because as much as it is good for us to check in on other people, we have to check in on ourselves. And like you said, how can we help as individuals? What difference can we make? However big or small it is, what can we do to help the community and just places overall? Because I remember even like the Indian farming and stuff. Even yesterday I was watching... I briefly saw something about, I think, Ethiopia, people getting slaughtered or somewhere in that area. And there is a lot of pain, but you have to, I guess, remember that within that pain, there is also goodness and healing and everything in between.
Yeah.
There's been a lot going on this year, hasn't there?
Damn, this was a little deep.
But yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's it's good to have healthy conversations and share, because often we're all going through the same thing, and it's amazing. Like, that's, I think, the best thing I've liked about growing up is that you meet like-minded people, and then you can just develop new relationships, and you know, and you're all kind of going through things but differently, and you can share. And I think often it takes a bit of maturity. Obviously you can have that at any age, but I think it's more solid as you get a little bit older, when you're ready to reach out and to share and be like-minded. So I think just keep talking, keep getting your voice heard, and before you know it, there's always someone out there who feels the same way.
Definitely.
And even if they feel a little bit different, that's your opportunity to educate them and to make them, you could maybe learn something from them, they can learn something from you.
Yeah, I agree. Use your voice. It's the power of using your voice. I think for so long and for so many generations, they haven't been able to use their voice. And now we are the generation where we have the tools, we have things like this to empower other people and empower ourselves. We just have to have the courage and the confidence to do it.
Yeah, amen.
Okay. thank you for watching. It's been a pretty deep conversation. Make sure you like and subscribe to the YouTube channel. If you're listening on the podcast, make sure you give us a rating, follow us, and if you'd like to speak to any of us personally, follow us at Female Magic. I will adjust. Oh, do you want to say it, actually?
You can say it. It's okay.
No, I don't remember your Instagram.
Just tag me. And I think it's Think Positive, Work Powerful. So that's what I'm all about, is just positive thinking, working, study tips. And just time management, project management. Just be kind to yourself, I think. So,
Thank you. Yeah, we'll see you next time.